This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hong Kong protests enter a new phase with the airport there now shut down. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. At Hong Kong's airport, after skirmishes between protesters and police escalated last night, all flights are canceled in and out today. 5,000 activists had occupied the main airport arrivals hall, and the police response provoked new tensions. Meanwhile, stock in Cathay Pacific Airlines fell nearly 5% in Hong Kong trading after the Chinese government over the weekend ordered the airline to bar any crew member from flying to or from mainland China if they had taken part in protests. I spoke to the BBC's Martin Yip in Hong Kong this morning.
Well, so all we know from the airport authority is they have to reschedule flights and literally asking many flights not to take off if they're from nearby airports because of this crowded protest. They have serious disruption, so they have to suspend many flights that come in and go out because they just can't handle it.
Now, let me ask you briefly about the airline Cathay Pacific. Chinese authorities asked the airline not to use staff, flight crew, who are identified as having participated in some of the Hong Kong protests?
Yes, there was indeed such decree from the Civil Aviation Authority of China back on last Saturday. And Cathay ended up saying they support one country, two system, and they would comply with these requirements from mainland China. And they also apparently sent out yet another note this morning to Cathay staffs, warning them not to participate in illegal assemblies. But there's one tricky thing here that we really don't know how would they actually exercise this whole order. And how would Cathay identify people who have been participating in marches or demonstrations? Because in theory, they are not allowed to intervene that kind of personal data. There's no rules to give them the authority to go through their employees' Facebook or Twitter feed to identify if any of them are protesters and then suspend them from duties.
The BBC's Martin Yip in Hong Kong. Thank you so much.
Anytime.
A long-running dispute between South Korea and Japan has escalated today. It's connected to the Japanese use of Korean slave labor during the last century. Among other things, Japan has been limiting Korea's ability to get certain industrial chemicals from Japan. Well, today, South Korea removed Japan from its list of countries that get preferred trade treatment. The escalating trade war between the U.S. and China has been center stage in recent weeks, but there's a whole other front there as the U.S. hardens its line on trade. I'm talking about the other massive trade partner, Europe. President Trump is talking about imposing $4 billion worth of tariffs on the Europeans over subsidies for the European plane maker Airbus. From the Marketplace European desk in London, Stephen Beard reports.
Compared with the storm raging between the US and China, transatlantic trade relations are for now relatively calm. Yes, American tariffs on steel and aluminum imports did cause fury in Europe last year and triggered retaliatory European measures. But overall, says Andrew Kenningham of Capital Economics, the impact has been muted.
Well, the tariffs on steel and aluminium have not been big enough to have an effect at a macroeconomic level. You know, they've been a headache, but nothing more than that.
The latest flare-up over subsidies for Airbus could be a different matter. If the US goes ahead and slaps $4 billion worth of tariffs on European produce like sausages and cheese, it could, says Nick Marrow of the Economist Intelligence Unit, have more damaging repercussions.
It could completely derail U.S.-EU trade negotiations, which to date haven't really lifted off the ground. And so if the U.S. does move forward with these proposed tariffs, that's going to kill a lot of the goodwill before the negotiations even begin.
There's an even bigger worry. If, come November, President Trump decides to jack up the tariffs on the imports of European cars, it could, says Andrew Kenningham, badly dent Europe's biggest car maker and dominant economy.
It would come at a time when the auto sector anyway is struggling. So it could potentially push Germany into a recession.
But oddly enough, says economist Peter Holmes of Sussex University, the sharp escalation in Trump's trade war with China has perversely given some Europeans cause for hope.
There's a general feeling that while he's obsessed with China, he's probably not going to start a war with such intensity on the EU.
There's a deeper unease here, however, that the US-China trade war could exacerbate the slowdown in world trade and even herald the beginning of the end of globalization. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's check the markets. The 100-share index in London is down 0.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures here are all down in the 7 to 0.8% range. Right now, minus 197 points for the Dow future. Amid concern about the health of the world economy, amid the trade war and other pressures, as we just heard, crude oil is down 1.5%, $53.70 a barrel in New York now.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Today, the U.S. Department of Agriculture will shed light on a crucial portion of the U.S. economy. How many acres of key crops were planted this year in the U.S. and how many were not? Here's Marketplace's Sabri Benishour.
2019 was awful for a lot of farmers.
Mother Nature really never let up.
John Newton is chief economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation.
Significant flooding across Nebraska, parts of Iowa and Missouri.
All that horrible weather delayed farmers' ability to plant soybeans and corn, among other crops. It also presented them with a choice. Try to plant a crop so late in the season, or just don't bother and collect insurance. Naomi Bloom is with Stuart Peterson.
And there was a little bit of nervousness of, are we going to get this crop at all in the ground, period, or not?
The delays were so bad, the Department of Agriculture couldn't get an accurate count of who's planting and who's not, which normally it would have had in June. The USDA had to redo the survey, and those numbers come out today.
The reason that's important is because for the past 4 to 5 years, we have had a surplus of grain in this country, which has led to low prices for farmers.
The supply of, say, corn and soybeans is critical to knowing what their prices will be. But this report just tells us about future supply. Future demand is wrapped up in the trade conflict with China, and that is a whole other mystery. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
And you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.